children, where they will be reading The Monster Who Lost His Mean. Our pastors call it first commandment trouble, the tendency to forget God, that God is God, and to put ourselves in God's place. It's a big commandment. When Moses went up to the mountain and then brought down with him two tablets of stone, there were 10 commandments written on it. And in fact, there are many more commandments than that in the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible that God gave to Moses, instructions for how to live as God's people. Rabbis traditionally say that there are 613 commandments in the Torah. And this one is the first and greatest. So Jesus recited when he was asked by the Pharisees what the greatest commandment was. Jesus actually quoted the scripture reading from today, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul, your life, and with all your might. In the 10 commandments, it's worded, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods. You shall not bow down or worship idols. But I think it's harder than just not worshiping idols. Idols are pretty obvious. Even more obvious is bowing down to the devil and worshiping him. It's pretty obvious that that's first commandment violation. Luther, though, Martin Luther, in the Small Catechism, brought it down to pretty simple words that are hard to follow. We are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. We are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. It's the foundation of all the other commandments. Luther, when he talks about all the other 9 commandments, begins them with, we are to fear and love God so that we do not commit adultery, so that we do not murder, so that we do not bear false witness against our neighbor. It is the foundation of all commandments. It is how we love our neighbor. We cannot love our neighbor when we forget that God is God, when we fear something more than God, when we love something more than God, when we trust something more than God. And so we cannot obey that without obeying the first. We cannot obey the second that Jesus told the Pharisees. We cannot love our neighbor as ourselves. And yet it's the commandment we have the most trouble keeping. There are a lot of things that I think I probably fear more than God. And when I fear something more than God, then I forget God and I focus all my energy on what I fear. I fear that I might not pass a test. When I fear for the health of my baby, I stop trusting God and put all my energy into fearing whatever it is that I fear. And Moses warns, take care that you do not forget the Lord. The Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve. Let me tell you the story of creatures who forgot that God is God and tried to be God in God's place. When God created the whole world, God created everything in it. The rocks, the sky, the sun, the stars, and the moon, and all the animals. And it was all very good. But over time, there was one type of creature that, more than any creature, any of the other creatures, forgot that God was God and tended to try to be God, to try to control things themselves. Humans. And the angels in heaven looked down and said to God, "Hey, these humans, they're forgetting that you're God, and they're being downright cruel to one another because of it." So God found the one man who remembered God and got him to build a boat and filled it with all the creatures of the world and his family. And God destroyed everything else and saved that man and his family. But God realized that maybe that wasn't a long-term solution. So after the flood, God promised never to do that again. And he also commanded the man and his family to be fruitful and multiply and to spread across the earth. But instead, a couple of generations later, they were all living together. They built a big city because they feared being spread out, losing contact with each other. And they looked at their city and they said, "Gee, isn't this awesome? We should build a tower to God so we can be closer to God too." So they made stones, kind of like we've been making. They made stones into bricks, their own man-made stones. And they started stacking them up, one on top of the other, these stones that God had not created, but they had. They started stacking it until it was scraping the sky, a skyscraper. And the angels in heaven looked down and stubbed their toes and said, "Gee, God, they're trying to be like you. And not only that, they're not following your commandment." So God knocked that tower down and made them spread across the whole world. And God looked and saw. Okay, now I'm distracted by the baby. When he's happy, it's fine, but oh no. So these people that built that tower, they were so sure that what they could build was as great as what God had created. So God decided, maybe it's not good that I let them create. Maybe I should just give it as a gift. So God chose one man, Abraham, and his descendants to give a whole land to, a fruitful land that would give them, provide for them all their needs. And perhaps if God gave it to them with no strings attached, they wouldn't get confused and think they'd built it. They'd remember that it was God. So Abraham set out and followed God to this promised land. But Abraham was still a bit confused because God had promised Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky that God had created. But Abraham had no kids. So he was scratching his head. He wasn't sure, since he and his wife Sarah had no children, how that would happen. Well, eventually they did have a child, Isaac. And Isaac also trusted that God would fill the land. He trusted God and feared God and loved God and relied on God's promise. And Isaac had two sons, twins. And the younger of the two sons, Jacob, Pastor Laura told his story a couple weeks ago. Jacob saw that God had promised his family this great land, but there was a problem. He had an older brother. There were two of them. So Jacob took matters into his own hands and arranged it so that he would get the inheritance, this wonderful promised land, which, not trusting God and fearing that he wouldn't have what his brother had, he broke his relationship with his brother. And he ran, and after he had received his father's blessing and the inheritance, he couldn't have it because he was scared for his life. So he ran away from his brother. And it was there, running away with nothing, not even a pillow to lay his head on, that he encountered God, and God gave him the promise that his descendants would enter the promised land and be blessed. Eventually, Jacob had many sons, and he became known as Israel, and all his sons became known as Israel. And they went down to Egypt, and many years later, generations later again, Israel's family, this whole nation, was enslaved in Egypt. So God called Moses to take Israel out of Egypt and deliver them into the promised land. But these people, they still had that same problem. They had nothing. They were wholly dependent on God. And yet they still feared the people who were already in that land more than God. So God realized that this plan wouldn't work. Just giving it with no strings attached, people still wouldn't get it. So he decided to wait a generation and see if that generation got it any better. So for 40 years, until a whole generation later, they wandered through the desert, wholly dependent on God. And finally, they trusted God more than they feared their enemies. So they were able to enter the promised land. This land that already had cities that they had not built, houses filled with goods that were not theirs, cisterns holding water that they had not dug, vineyards and olive groves planted so that they would have food. But God wasn't sure, because these people, they kept forgetting that God was God. They kept forgetting to love God and trust God more than they feared anything else. So God also gave them the Torah, instructions. The Torah can be translated a couple ways. Instruction, commandments, law. I like the translation instruction. Instructions for how to live in the promised land. And they begin with the most important commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love God with all your heart, with all your soul, your life, and with all your might. And then God gave them, knowing that they would forget, knowing that individuals forget all the time, God instructed them on how they were to remember the commandment, this commandment. Keep them in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Talk about them all the time. Remind each other of these commandments. Remind each other that I am God. God is God. Not only that, bind them as a sign on your hand and on your forehead. And then when you see it on other people's foreheads, you'll remember. Write them on your doorposts and on your gates. Have those words, have that reminder everywhere. And through the years, sure enough, the people sometimes forgot. Sometimes they wanted to worship other gods. Sometimes they broke that first commandment really obviously, building idols. And sometimes they forgot less obviously, building up for them themselves vast wealth, worshiping their own achievements rather than God, and forgetting to care for one another, to love their neighbors. But since God had instructed them to remind one another, they did. There was always someone, there was always a prophet to remind them that God is God and how to live as God's people. Now, if you've been here the last couple weeks, you know that every week we've done something with a rock. So today I thought that we would follow the instructions in the Shema. So I've got some glue here, and I'd like you to take your rock, or if you haven't, or if you've forgotten your rock, you can come and get another one, and glue it to your forehead so that you don't forget. You don't believe me. You're right. I have something much worse in mind. I want you to talk to your neighbor about your rock. Tell them about your rock. Our rocks that we've been carrying around with us this Lent. And again, if you don't have a rock or you've forgotten it, you're welcome to come get another one. Encouraged to come get another one. These rocks are to symbolize, they symbolize a couple things. In the Bible, we hear that rocks referred to as stumbling blocks, things that keep us from following God's way. And we also hear of rocks as cornerstones, as the very foundation of our lives, that God is our rock and our foundation. So these rocks that we are carrying with us remind us of both those things, our stumbling blocks and our foundation. So I'd like you to share about your rock. And Pastor Phil, would you come up? If you've been in BLAST recently and tried to use that glue, you know that that's not going to work. No, I'm much worse. I'd like to share my rock with you. And, well, I have to admit, I've got two rocks with me. Because one that I picked up on Ash Wednesday, and I quite like it. It's kind of shaped like a person. Nice and flat and dark, sort of the head and the triangular body. But then last week, I forgot mine, so I picked up another one. And so now I've got, and miracle of miracles, I managed to find both of them today. This one's kind of broken, and you can feel lots of edges on it. But this is my rock. It symbolizes a stumbling block and a cornerstone. And where I tend to go wrong, where I forget that God is God. And it also symbolizes for me where God saves me, where that reminder that God is God. So I have to admit, I'm kind of like Jacob. I really like being in control of, I know that God's promised amazing things, but I like to know how things will go. So like that plays out in my life. When I go to call someone, I'm terrified of picking up the phone because I don't know how that conversation's gonna go. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how many rings it'll take before they pick up, or if they will pick up. I don't know if I should be ready to leave a voicemail or be ready to talk to someone.
So kind of just, it represents the fear you want to get into.
Yeah, it's that fear. And where God saves me, you know, listening to music reminds me that God is God and just how great God is. It reminds me how vast creation is and also how close God is to me. So listening to music, listening to the choir here and listening to music at home, that reminds me that God is God and that God is near. What about you?
Oh, you want me to talk?
I would, yeah. Do you have your stone?
I do.
Oh,
if I can get to
excellent.
It. Yeah, if I'm honest, I picked up my stone because at Ash Wednesday, I was going to invite folks to dip it into the water. And so I wanted a stone that when you dipped in the water, it kind of transformed and glistened and everything. But it also reminded me of the power of God. Because remember the flood, 5 or 6 years ago? And all those stones that got washed up along the bow? We collected stones and put them on our backsplash. And it just reminds me of those stones and how, God used water on this stone to kind of polish it and make it smooth. And so that's kind of why I initially chose this stone. And my stone has, wow. I was going to say it has two words on there. It's so interesting. In one of the conversations, invited people to write either something that they want to develop as far as their relationship with God during this Lenten season, and or something that gets in the way of that. And so the word that I put as far as something I want to work on and focus on is discipline, because on the other side I wrote laziness. I have a tendency to kind of, when I'm not feeling that great or motivated, just to kind of just to give into that. And I guess Paul called it, your worldly whatever, kind of giving into the flesh, you might say. And so so laziness was what I put there. It's just interesting because the laziness is almost gone on my rock. But also looking back, whenever I feel the rock, I remember, okay, what am I committed to? And to go ahead and try to take action whether I feel like it or not in the moment. And so in a sense, I guess the laziness is disappearing. Discipline, you can still read pretty clearly. And of course, this is not, it's not discipline like, being in fear, but more about kind of patterning my life so that I continue to be about those things that work toward loving God and loving others. So that's my rock.
Thanks for sharing,
Oh,
Pastor
you're welcome.
Phil.
Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for...
Can I sit down now?
Yes, you may. You could sit down and share with someone else. I invite all of you now to tell your neighbor about your rocks. And if you have your rock, then great. You can show them your rock and literally tell them about your literal rock. Either if you have your rock or if you don't, share with your neighbor how you forget that God is God sometimes, what you do when you forget, and what reminds you, something in your life that reminds you of God and that God is God.